We're in the middle of Shin Beis, which is halachas that talk about, like, what do you do with clothes? Can you fold them? If you're allowed to clean them? Well, obviously, I'm saying libun mamish is aser, but what forms of cleaning are not aser, are not considered libun? And all that good stuff. Okay? Just before we start, though, I would like to share an interesting shaila that was thrown my way earlier today. I got an email from my sister saying that her friend asked her to forward to me the following question. She has a friend who's a girl, who, I don't know if they're engaged yet or they want to get engaged to a guy, but the guy's parents don't want him to marry this girl. So is he allowed to ignore their disapproval or not? And then I was also, for good measure, it was thrown in, and even if it's mutter, but what's the most ideal situation? So now, legami the halacha, it's in the first halacha, it happens to be, at the end of Simon Reish Mem Yerodea. Okay, Simon Reish Mem, by the way, just in case you never knew, the halachas of Kibud Aveim are in Yerodea Simon Reish Mem. Okay? Also, coming right after that, well, I mean, this is the halachas of Makar Umakalo, but then in Reish Mem Beis, are the halachas of Kvayd Rabbi the Talmidei Chachamim. If you've never been to these halachas before, it is Kedai. Yeah, and then, after that, believe it or not, there's something called Hilchus, no, sorry, that's Hilchus Talmid Chacham. And then Reish Mem Vav, there's something called Hilchus Talmud Torah. The halachas of learning Torah. So take a look and you'll find out. In any event, at the very end of Simon Reish Mem, I know you're not going to be able to. At the very end of Simon Reish Mem, the Mechaber says as follows: In Ha'av Reitzel L'Sharis Zaben Mutu L'Kavlo Mimenu. If the father wants to serve the son, it's okay. You're allowed to let him do that. Elin Kain Ha'av Ben Taira. Unless the father himself is a Talmud Chacham. A person who wants to go learn in a certain yeshiva by a certain Rebbe because he's certain that over there he's going to really do well in his learning. And the father says, no, I don't want you to go there. Because he's worried that over there it's dangerous, the goyim, they try to make all types of stories about Jews and get them into trouble. So are you allowed to ignore your father's wishes in such a situation? Says Maran HaMechaber, Einai tzarich lishmoy al ha'av b'zeh. You don't have to listen to your father. Says the Ramah, V'chein im ha'av moicha b'ben nisa eza isha sheyach b'tzpa ben. If the son wants to get married to a certain girl, and the father says, I don't want you to marry that girl, says the Ramah, Einai tzarich lishmoya el ha'av. You don't have to listen to your father on such a matter. And in the Darchei Moshe, oh, very good. In the Darchei Moshe,
because you're getting married,
right? Oh, very good. In the Darchei Moshe, he expands more on this, and he says, B'tshuvas ma'arik sherish kupsan v'av kaza. The ma'arik writes in a tshuva, the father has no say to tell his son whom he wants him to marry. Why? No, we're going to get to that in a minute. Heavenly kimitzave laver al divrei Torah. Because this is as if your father is telling you to violate a mitzvah in the Torah, which the Gemara says explicitly, since it says ish imay ve'aviv tira'u, or it says akabedes avicha v'sevecha ani Hashem, since it ends off with ani Hashem, so we learn ata ve'avicha chayav v'mechvayim, that ultimately you have to listen to God over your parents if it comes down to it. Now, why is this considered as if your father is telling you, or your mother for that matter, lav or al divrei Torah?
Yes, what's
good. Says the.
You're preventing from this woman to
not quite.
Nah. You're still disrupting.
Darchei Moshe says, why? The mitzvah sheyikach ish isha asher yachpitzvah. Because the mitzvah of getting married is that you get married to someone that you want to get married to. And if you're going to get married, okay, sonny boy, you can only marry this girl. That's no good. Okay? There's the mitzvah, is to have shalom bayis, and have good children, etc. So therefore, if your father tells you, I don't want you getting married to the girl of your choice, it's as if he's telling you to violate a mitzvah, and therefore, you do not listen to him. Oid sham, furthermore he says, I don't know who was the one who put this out, Elad maybe, oid sham, de'ein chayav l'chavdai ela b'dvarim sheshayochim la'av. You're only obligated to honor your father in terms of things that have to do with him. Kegoin, ma'achiloi, you have to bring him his food if he needs. Umashkeu, you have to give him. You need to bring him. You need to give him to drink if he needs. Aval milso b'loy shayach ha'av begavei. But something that the father has no connection to be'etzim. Pshita de'in biyad koyach ha'av. And obviously the father has no right to tell his son one way or the other. This has nothing to do with you, Dad. This is my wife, not yours.
Can he even tell you to get married?
Well, that's irrelevant because the Torah tells you to get married.
No,
I'm sorry. You don't live with your daughter-in-law. Yes, it's your daughter-in-law, but that's not like directly negea to you.
Yeah, what happens if the dad wants to marry this woman and you want to marry this woman?
Great question. I don't know.
You should know, by the way.
Once upon a time, when they got married at much younger ages, so my father told me that Rav Yaakov Weinberg's father, Rav Yaakov Weinberg was Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Baltimore, was married to one woman, and he had a few children from that woman. And then that woman died, and he remarried, and he had more children with another woman. Now what happened was, is that he was looking for a wife for his son, for his oldest son, and he found a girl that he actually decided to marry himself as his second wife. Believe it or not. So, your scenario is not an impossible scenario to come up with. Okay, so Adkan, that was an interesting nekuda. Lamaisa, I told my sister that I don't think this is the way the issue should be approached. I think the issue needs to be approached by this guy and his parents going, you know, into some type of therapy setting because, you know, it's not like, are you going to make a whole din Torah out of it and then you're going to be in a fight for the rest of your life? You know, you have to be a chacham about things. You can't just say like, oh, Shulchan Aruch says I can ignore my father, okay, Shalom Aleichem, I'm going to ignore my father and that's it. Like, you can be a chacham, you know, go to the right person, get the right people involved, smooth it over, you know, and there'll be Shalom Aleichem. Okay, coming back to Siman Shin Beis, so just to do a little bit of chazara, last time we saw that the Ramah brings down Shitas Rashi, that if your clothes get dust on them on Shabbos, according to Rashi, it's an Isser D'Oraisa of Kibbutz, of Libun, to shake the dust out or to brush the dust off. Okay? The Ramah, Rav Rishayim Mar Chaylik on Rashi, and hold that that's not true. There's no such thing. Dust is not considered, just brushing off dust is not considered Libun.
You probably do it
That could be, but okay. Well, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to be mevarer the halacha. Our kopani, what we came up with is like this. Why should that be a proof that it should be mutter? Just because people are not careful?
That's secretion.
Sorry?
Secretion.
Why should that prove that it's mutter? Why should that prove that it's mutter?
Secretion.
In any event, so what we said is like this.
I'm saying, it can't be also, if everyone's definitely
going to
be. I disagree with your assumption that necessarily every single Jew is going to be doing this on Shabbos. I'm saying once you learn the halachas and you become aware, so then your awareness stops. That would be like someone who's like a Baal Tshuva saying, it can't be us to turn lights off and on because like you just do it on automatic on Shabbos. No, if you'll learn the halachas and you'll get used to being careful about Isurei Shabbos, so you won't do it on automatic. In any event, what is clear is that if the clothing are no longer new, and you're not makbid, which by the way, it's clear from the Bir Halacha that the definition... I'm recapping. That the definition of not makbid...
No,
oh.
A few months ago.
Did you? Okay.
Like we learned to
be. Fine, so good. Even more chazara. Yes. So listen, it's clear from the Bir Halacha. Last time we discussed, what's the definition of not makbid? Because that's clear. That if you're not makbid, it's for sure mutter.
That you're not going to walk up to the street.
Oh, So last time that's what we spoke out, and the Bi'alacha is clear. The Bi'alacha is mafurish that what not makbid means is that at least sometimes you wouldn't mind wearing it as is. Says the Bi'alacha, da'anu loyshin kama pa'amin bli nir. If the matzav is such that sometimes you don't bother to shake off the dust and you would wear it as is, then that's not called makbid. And he says it again later in this law. This is like a bump of Bi'alacha over here. Later in the Bi'alacha, he says, "Deim yadua shafilu bechivre v'sumke gamkin darkei lahakbid shaloi lelav shay bli nir." You would not wear it without shaking off the dust, without brushing off the dust. So that's the definition of makbid. Would you at least sometimes be willing to wear it as is without brushing off the dust? So if you know for sure in yourself that this piece of clothing is not new, you know, that new look has already worn off because you've worn it and it's laundered multiple times, and you for sure know that you're not makbid, sometimes I would go and I wouldn't bother to brush it off, then it's for sure mutter, no questions asked. For sure mutter, no questions asked. Okay? But what if you're not really sure? You know, could be that it still does look new. I don't really know if I'm makbid. So then we said like this. We came up with the following... He came up with the following pshat. The Ramon himself says that since Rav Rishonim don't hold of this shita of Rashi, and they hold that the Gemara is talking about tal, not avak, therefore, says the Ramon, toiv lachish. It's only a toiv lachish. The Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Eliya Rabba that no, there's a lot of other Rishonim that do hold like Rashi, and therefore, me'ikar adin, you have to be chayshish for shita to Rashi. So we came up with the following pshat. If you'll do it kila'achar yad, not in a normal way, but like with the back of your hand or something like that, and you're not sure, maybe taka, you're not makbid, maybe it's not new. So the makum safik, where lefina ramah, it's only a type lachish, and you're doing it kila'achar yad, so yesh makum lahakil. I'm not going to say outright for sure, you know, blanket statement, it's mother, but for sure yesh makum lahakil. Definitely I'll call upon him. There's no makum to tell someone if you see him doing it to stop doing it. L'may sigaret, at the end of the day, even though the Mishnah Berurah seems to be noite that really you ought to be makbid and not do this if you're makbid, okay? If you see someone else doing it, l'may sigaret, he has the Ramah. The Ramah says that it's only a type of lachash. Okay, let's go on. That was really a recap from last time. The next halacha that I'd like to stop on is this halacha of kipul, okay? And the halacha says like this: Mekavim kelim b'Shabbos, mitzarech Shabbos love shabbat. I'm gonna explain it. Mekavim kelim b'Shabbos, mitzarech Shabbos love shabbat b'yom. You are allowed to fold up your clothes on Shabbos if you are going to use that garment again on this Shabbos. However,
same thing like during the bed,
right? No, not quite. There's a difference over here. You'll see why. Okay. V'davka ba'adam echad, but only one person by himself. You can't have two people doing it together. That's condition number one. Well, really condition number one is that it has to be that you're going to use it again on this Shabbos. That's condition number one. Condition number two, you can't have two people doing it together. Only one person. Ubachadoshim shadayim leniskavsu. Condition number three, only new clothes that have never yet been laundered. Well, that basically gets rid of this heter for most of us. Condition number four, levonim, only if they're white. And condition number five, the inay lahachlif. You don't have any other Shabbos clothes to change into. So basically, if you go with these conditions, we don't have a heter to fold our clothes on Shabbos. Okay. Now, the yesh misha oimer. Sorry, I skipped. V'im chaser echad mi'elu atzanayim aser. If you're missing any one of these five conditions, it's aser. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Gemara because it's nira kimatakin. It looks like you're making a tikkun because by keeping it nice and creased and preventing it from getting all, keeping it creased on the, what are those things called again? The creases? You put it on its proper folds and it doesn't get like all like, you know,
creased.
Yeah, creased up in the wrong places. So then, it's mirakim attacking. It looks like you're making a tikkun. Okay? So if you're missing any one of these conditions, says the Mechaber, it's awesome. You're not allowed to do it. However, v'yesh mi sha'imer de lekaplei shaloi kesei de kipulei arishan muta b'cholinin, if you want to fold it not on the proper creases, in a different way, in a different way. Can we like leave that, please?
Okay.
You guys are definitely old enough not to be playing with things during this year, okay? I'll call upon him. If you want to fold it not on the proper lines, like, you know, some people fold up their tzitzit, like that, then that's mutter. Now, the Dirshu brings down that there are modern-day poskim who are malamid tzchus, and some of them even say that it's outright, that to take your pants, you know, and just, you know, quickly put them on the proper line and put them over a hanger and, you know, fold them over the hanger and hang them up, that's mutter. Now, what's the reason for saying that's mutter?
What about talis after shul?
Same thing, basically.
My dad always tells me that you shouldn't do it all.
Because the pashtus of the halach and shulchan aruch is not like that. By the way, I don't know if doing it the opposite, you're still doing it on the line, you're just doing it on the opposite. I don't think that's the pshat and shulchan aruch. I think the pshat and shulchan aruch is to not fold it on the lines at all. But I'll call upon him, the limud schus, I'll call upon him, for those that do it, is that in the time of Chazal, it was a whole asik, this business of folding up clothes. But by us, it's like just like a chick-chock thing, you know, you just hang it over the hanger, and like, you're done. I don't know, but you see from the sugya that they had like this like special press, this machine, that, you know, a professional would have a professional machine. And by the way, I've seen this before. Some people have this in their house. It's like this press machine that you put your pants in it. It keeps them very, very well creased. So you see by Chazal, that hanging up, that folding clothes was much more of an asik than it is by us. So I'll go buy it. There are some poskim that are melamed tzchus.
Maybe because for us it's more available to buy more. If it just like...
Okay, that I don't know.
They had like a...
Now, derech agav, they get into the whole question that someone mentioned last time, that if your hat gets sat on or punched in on Shabbos, are you allowed to fix it? Okay?
It's not clean.
So, last time we svara, I said...
Maybe put that Shabbos together and get a little bad insurance.
Last time I said over, based on another halacha, that let's say your shoelace comes out of your shoe on Shabbos, are you allowed to put it back in?
What, from the hole?
Yeah, comes out Montgomery. Can you put it back in?
Was what wrong with that?
I think I would.
Well, let's not talk about what you would do. Let's talk about what you should do.
No,
okay?
Why not? Mitzad echad it's kev, but on the second side, you're not doing nothing. Putting it in the hole. There's a issue to put a shoelace in his hole. It's not a kishin. It's not something.
So Lamai Sigaret, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisrael, let's try to keep ourselves under control over here. Gentlemen, thank you. No, Baruch Hashem not. At least not in this year. I need a gavel. So, the Gemara says that if the shoelace was never yet in the shoe, then it's usher to put the shoelace in. But if it's a shoelace that was in the shoe, and then it just came out on Shabbos, you are allowed to put it in. Now, what would be the reason for that? Can anybody tell me? Wow, no takers over here?
I don't know why, because it's kids.
Because it happens, like it's not fixed. You know what I'm saying? It can come out.
Again. The Gemara says that if the shoelace was never in the shoe, and now you're putting it in for the first time, it's awesome.
That's like Makeva Patish. It's like...
Oh, very good. It's Makeva Patish, it's Tikkun Mono. You're finishing off the shoe. The shoe was never finished. But if the shoelace was already in the shoe, and now it came out, so you're not doing Tikkun Mono. It already has a shin kli. It's already a shoe. You're just fixing it, and you're fixing it in a way that it's not considered a malacha. Like Elad said, what are you doing already? In other words, it's like this. The maisa of putting a shoelace in a shoe is not a maisa malacha. But if doing so is the gemar of the shoe, so then that fact that it's the gemar makes it into tikkun mono. But be'etim, it's not a malacha b'chol to do such a thing. The same thing, says the gemara, is a pillow. If you take the stuffing of a pillow and for the first time stuff it into the pillow, it's asr. Why? What kind of a malacha is that? What did I do already? Rabbeinu Elad would say. Well, you're right. The etzem is not a ma'aseh malacha. But you're finishing, you're now making it into a pillow. It never was a pillow. Now you're making it a pillow. So that's tikkun mono. Not Kippur Bavis, according to Moshe. What? No,
it's
no, let's not get into Nevin. Let's not get into Nevin, okay? It's a Sias Boinem, Akibat Patish, Tikkun. Okay, that's already more in the Sugya and the Rishonim. Which Malacha is it? Is it the Malacha Akibat Patish? Is it Malacha Boinem? Is it Nirake Boinem? I'll call upon him. So, but if the pillow stuffing was already in there, and it just fell out on Shabbos, says the Gemara, what? You're allowed to put it back in. You're allowed to put it back in. It's not a problem to put it back in. I'm trying to find out where this halacha is. I guess maybe it's in Shin Yitzan. So I wanted to tie note that the same thing should apply to a hat. The hat was already finished. You can't tell me that right now by being masada in my hat and fixing it, putting it back into position, that now I'm doing the makom patish on the hat. That's ridiculous.
Okay. It's the same on the shoelace.
Okay. That's exactly what I wanted to tie in the last time. That's exactly what I wanted to tie in. So that fixing your hat is no different.
Patish and the tuck is very different. Saying, you can say that it's being demolished and now you're being burned.
And why by the shoelace don't you say the same thing? The shoe is demolished. The pillow is demolished.
No.
The stuffing came out. What's the nafka mean? Explain it to me. Explain it to me.
Oh, there's two parts, right? There's a shoe and a shoelace, and a pillow and a pillowcase.
So if anything, it's worse. If anything, it's worse. You're building something because you're putting together
two parts. You're just putting one into another. You're just putting one into another. Over here, it's the same thing, and it's demolished. It's finished. It's gone.
Okay, I'll call upon him. Listen.
Oh, but if you're looking at it from that point of view, that's hat and everything that was fixed.
That's right. Broken. That's right. That's right. Unless the fixing is something that like requires the Maisa Uman or something like that. That's generally the rule. Now the Maisa, they bring down like this. They bring down that if it's a soft hat that got
to do this in Shabbat is a problem.
Avada?
Why?
Why shouldn't that be kosher? There's a malacha called kosher.
Not kosher.
There's a malacha called kosher. What you just did is mamish kosher. In English, you just tied it.
No, you not.
Slicha?
It was tied.
Excuse me, that knot was not tied.
But is it this?
No! Whoa. Who says that you have to do the entire maisa from the beginning for it to be kosher?
It was already had.
But it comes down easily.
It was not a regular string. Now it is kosher, let us try
them
later.
No.
Listen. Over there, you're tying. Over there, once it's loose.
And now it is kosher for Shabbat. It is kosher now?
For sure.
And now? I did twice kosher?
No, until it's held together.
That's exactly what I did here. It was already kosher there and it just made it tight.
No, the second time was kosher, the first time was not. The first one that you just did is not kosher. At that point, it's not kosher. That you did not
do. If I did this on Shabbat.
I don't think so. No.
Why?
Because it has no kiyum to it whatsoever.
Same with this, no kiyum. Okay, come to me
after. What are you talking about?
We'll be open.
Okay, I'll say yesh ladum. On that nekuda yesh ladum.
Why? Well, you want to take this from this?
On that,
you shouldn't say it.
Yeah, it's a separate malach. Exactly, it's a separate malach called kosher. That's why it doesn't necessarily. Okay, lemaisa. What they bring down over here is like this. If it's a soft hat, so then they bring from the Chazanish that it's mutter to put it back into position and fix it. And Shlomo Zalman says the same thing. And Rabbi Asher says the same thing. And then they bring from Rabbi Sina Abishol that if it got so bent up that you can't wear it like that, then you can't fix it because it's Mitakin Mana. So okay, so it seems like he's a Dasi Yachid over here.
One's temporary, the one's permanent.
And then they say that if it's a mikbat kshicha, does anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
What is a mikbat kshicha?
What the chassidim has a handle
with the
like
just. That. So they kind of say if it's a hard hat, like you're talking like the chassidim have, so then the chazanish says you can't fix it, and Rav Nissim Karlitz also says you can't fix it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what the nafkamina should be. I don't know. So these things, I guess, believe I'll have to look them up. Well.
It's still like one part. When you break a, like a really hard hat, it's just like broken.
No, but it's not broken. It's bent.
It's not.
It's not like, cut. It didn't get cut apart. You know, like obviously we're not talking about.
What's the difference? If it's not like if it's.
Not saying it ruins. It kind of ruins the hat. It like ruins it. You know, in their eyes, it's like once it's like broken once, it's like ruined.
Excuse me. If someone sits on your black hat on Shabbos, it's not ruined as it is.
Fix it up. You can fix it up.
And their hats you can't fix.
Nah, it doesn't look the same anymore. That's what a chassid guy told me.
It's not clear to me why that should make a nafkamina. Okay, so this is where we'll stop for today. And then Mitzvah Shem, next week, hopefully if we... Wait, are we having a shir next week? You guys want to be here?
I'm not sure.
I think there's a Thursday that you want to be, and then we'll be here.
What, Thursday you're not going to have a shir? Okay, so I guess next month? Okay, chaval. So next month, Mitzvah Shem, we'll talk about when Mud gets on your shirt.
Are you being a waiter?
What's this?